Our story begins on a warm summer's eve in London, where we encounter our Dr. Mackenzie preparing for his journey. His careful planning of a trip to Scotland to visit family and friends would soon have him travelling through the night by train to Edinburgh. There, he planned to take in some of the sights and make his connection the following day to Oban, where he hoped to find passage by ferry or boat over to Skye, his final destination. His train from King's Cross Station bound for Edinburgh was to leave in about an hour, and with nothing left to do, he headed for an interesting little bookshop that had caught his eye earlier that evening. The quaint little shop was conveniently located just above the station, tucked away in an old original section that seemed more tranquil and peaceful, and yet just the sort of genuine and comfortable place one could easily spend an hour while waiting for the train. Little did he know that this simple respite from the hustle and bustle of the train station was just the beginning of his adventures. He entered the old bookshop, carefully made his way through the dimly lit room to the back, where the smell of old books greeted him with familiarity. He began browsing amongst the shelves and the short stacks of books all about the shop, and soon came upon an old worn leather book in the discount section. Intrigued, and noting its apparent antiquity, he carefully picked it up, blew the dust off the cover, and opened it gingerly. There before him were pages and pages of carefully and skillfully crafted handwritten journal notes. It was not a book, but a journal of a Mr. Donald McIntyre. June 19th, 1889. Had a delightful tea with Miss James this morning, and upon finding we were both quite fond of strawberries, asked Mr. Williams to check with the cook in the kitchen if there were any to be found. June 21st, 1889. Left for the islands by way of Edinburgh, on through to Oban, and by way of passage on the Lucky Star. Over to Lewis to attend Annie McCollum's wedding. Annie was always Mother MacLeod's favourite, and the fact that she was to wed Mr. Duncan Sinclair, a wealthy landowner from Argyll, did not give her much displeasure at all. July 25th, 1889. Arrived Outer Banks of the Hebrides, and tomorrow shall see the familiar shores of Skye. August 12th, 1889. Visited the family gathering. He thought to himself that this was all very quaint, but just as he was about to put it back on the stack, he turned the page, and there, still neatly pressed between the pages, was a small, neatly folded piece of paper, slightly yellowed with age. He lifted it up to examine it more closely and noted that it had been sealed, as was the custom when sealing a letter with red wax. The Clan MacIntyre crest was plain to see impressed from a signet ring, even after all these years. "What's this?" he thought to himself, and he held it up to the light. He could make out, though the ink had faded, that the letter was addressed to a Mrs. MacIntyre, and now, with renewed interest and curiosity, he turned his attention back to the journal to see if it would tell him more about the intended recipient. October 12th, 1889. Visited with Bartleby, the solicitor, near Hyde Park, to take care of personal matters, and after a fine lunch at the Dorchester, visited Lloyd's of London to make the necessary arrangements. October 12, 1889. Lloyd's provided the finest service, and I shall forever be in their debt for their advice. October 15, 1889. No time to return, but shall leave a note in the morning to ensure that this letter gets to my wife in Killin-on-Skye, as it is of the utmost importance. There were no further entries. He quickly approached the shopkeeper and wanted to know if the journal was indeed for sale. The shopkeeper thought it more of a curiosity and had no idea of its origin other than all the books in that section had been procured from a Mr. MacIntyre's estate for quick sale. He was quite happy to have it go for a few pounds. Dr. Mackenzie quickly produced a few pound notes from his pocket. The bargain was struck, and the journal was his. He left the shop and began making his way to platform number 9, where the 8 o'clock express to Edinburgh was waiting. As he navigated and dodged his way through the crowds, he thought to himself that what luck it was that he was travelling to Skye. He would ask around and see if any of his friends or family knew of a Mary MacIntyre, or a possible late Mr. Donald MacIntyre. If so, he would see that the journal was returned to the family. After all, he had no use for it. But the final journal entries compelled and inspired him with a certain sense of duty to make sure the journal and the letter were returned to their rightful place after all these many years. It seemed the right thing to do, and while he was most intrigued with the contents of the unopened letter from over 100 years ago, he still could not bring himself to open it. He glanced at his watch and hurried to catch his train to Edinburgh and began his journey on the road to the Isles.